Could we go to the consent agenda, please, Carla? Does anybody want to pull anything from consent? Anybody in the audience want to pull anything from consent? Did you pull something? No? Please call the roll on consent.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Thank you, and I apologize to those who've been waiting for the next time certain. Please read item 1027.
Reappoint a pool of community volunteers to be available to serve on the Police Review Board for terms to expire October 31, 2016.
This Auditor Griffin Vallade and IPR Director Constantine Sever will, I believe, be taking it away.
Thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate your time on this very important issue. My name is Constantine Sever. I am the Director of the Independent Police Review Division, and I am joined by our Assistant Director, Anika Bent-Albert, who spent a lot of time putting together this process for the reappointment of these really fine folks, and our Assistant Program Manager, Rachel Mortimer. So why we're here today is to ask that Council reappoint 10 community members as the citizen members on the Police Review Board. The Police Review Board is an advisory body to the Chief of Police and the Police Commissioner in all disciplinary cases where an officer faces a discipline of a day or more. They hear the investigation. They get to send the investigation back if it's not sufficient. And they also hear all officer-involved shootings, in-custody deaths, and certain types of use of force cases. These individuals served starting in 2010 as a result of the creation of the Police Review Board that changed the way the old performance review boards and use of force review boards worked and created the Police Review Board where council actually has a more than a say, but actually appoints these individuals, which is a change from the way it used to work where it was the Chief of Police who appointed the community members. And when we did the 2010 code changes, we felt it was important because of the huge issues that the Police Review Board hears that council actually gets a chance to see the quality and the merit of these individuals that are on this board. And just so you've guys been working very hard, I'll keep this very brief. There are 10 members, and I'll just read out the names for you. And just a little bit about their biographical background. These folks have served on the Police Review Board for the last 3 years, and I've had the opportunity to work with all of them, and they serve this city very well, hearing very important cases. Carlos Calderon Marcial, he's a Portland resident and is self-employed investment professional. He has over 30 years in the banking and finance industry, and is currently devoting some of his time to community developments. He is also a public member on the Oregon State Bar's Client Security Fund. Edward Hershey, that some of you may know, is very recently retired as a communications director of the Service Employees International Union Local 503, and is now principal at Edward Hershey and Associates Communication Consultants. He has a long history in the newspaper industry, and it was also a former Assistant Commissioner of Corrections in the City of New York. Rob Corduroy is a Finance Business Services Manager for Multnomah County Department of County Health Services, providing departmental oversight, support, and managing staff. Prior to that, he was a Senior Fiscal Analyst for the State of Oregon. Diane Rollo Whiting Marsh is a surgical nurse at the Oregon Health Sciences University. Her practice involves large numbers of indigent persons and a broad spectrum of our community. Anthony McNamara is a partner at McNamara & Company. He is a very multifaceted individual. He is the owner of Expunge Records and also represents a lot of intellectual property type clients, including hip hop artists. Patrick Messenger is a retired owner of residential property business management. He is also a board member of the Concordia Neighborhood Association. He also serves on Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods and it serves as an advisory council member to the Foster grandparent program of Multnomah Family Services. Grace Reed is a retired individual who has considerable experience in mediation, education, drama, therapy, and addiction counseling. She has training and experience in conflict resolution and has worked with at-risk individuals and families with youth dealing with addictions. Llewellyn Robeson is a retired U.S. Customs officer. She's traveled extensively and was a former member of the Citizens Review Committee from 2004 to 2010 and has served on the PRB's predecessor, the Performance Review Board's Use of Force Review Boards. Charles Rosenthal is a member of the Police Review Board, and he is a retired engineer, consultant, and manager. He serves on many boards and is very committed to our community. And finally, but not least, Wilson Tillman is a retired estimator who worked with mechanical contractors. He served in the United States Navy as a radar operator, and has also done brief stints on the shore patrol when he was a younger individual. He is very connected with his community. He served with the Salvation Army, distributing food and toys, and I know he's heavily involved in his neighborhood association. So that is my presentation. If you folks have any questions, feel free to ask me.
Questions from council
or the panel?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any testimony on this?
Yes, we have two people signed up: Joe Walsh and Dan Handelman.
Please come forward. Good morning, Mr. Walsh.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I would like to defer to Dan and let him go first. That's okay with you guys?
That okay with Dan?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Good morning, President Fritz and council members. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I am here to testify about this agenda item. The issue of the Police Review Board is broader than the 10 individuals that you're reappointing this morning, and we don't have any particular problem with them because, of course, we don't know what they've been doing because what they do is happening behind closed doors, and the individuals aren't named in the Police Review Board reports that we do receive. So we have no idea who's doing what or how they're performing, even though they're ostensibly representing the community when these boards are held. The last time they have been seen in a public place was in these chambers in October 2010, when there were trainings going on for the Citizen Review Committee and the Police Review Board. And there have been no public feedback from them saying this is how the process is going, this is what we're doing, and there's been no interaction between them and the Citizen Review Committee, even though the auditors introducing the DOJ-mandated option for the CRC members to rotate on to this board to help better integrate our oversight system. And as we talked about last week when we were talking about the oversight system in total, there's no opportunity for the individual who is harmed in the cases being heard in front of the Police Review Board to appear at that review board. So there are a lot of problems in the structure. Again, going back to what you're considering today, there were 19 people appointed in 2010, and actually their term started in September, and this new term is starting November. I'm not sure why there's the lapse there. But nine of the people who are not being reappointed, there's no explanation what happened to them. Three of those nine people were former members of the Citizen Review Committee as well. It would be nice to have an exit interview with them and find out what their experiences were and why they aren't on the board anymore. And my understanding is that there are 26 other people who applied to be on the board and that their background checks are still being finished up, and those can be another batch of folks that you're going to be able to look at in the next couple of weeks. The internal nature of the board also leads to other questions that we don't know the answers to. In addition to the citizens who rotate on this board, there are peer officers who rotate on, and we don't know if they're kept the same strict confidentiality as the citizen members who can't report back to the community what they've seen and heard. It would be nice to know that, for instance. And again, referring to those changes that we were looking at last week, the auditor wants to make a lot of these changes based on specific incidents that happened with some of the police commanders not going through the the proper motions to be part of the accountability system. A specific issue came up around this police review board where Fred Bryant, the father of Keaton Otis, tried to appeal the findings of the review board. He didn't think that his son's death was justified. He was not disallowed by the IPR to do so. Fred Bryant passed away yesterday. He had a stroke earlier this month, and he's never going to be able to see that issue through to its final justice. I just wanted to remember Mr. Bryant. Thank you.
Again, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We have no problem with the appointments, and we fully expect you, once again, to just rubber stamp it. What we would question is the process. There's an old saying that a lot of people use now: if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you expect different results, it's a sign of insanity. And that's what we do. We keep putting the same people on these committees and we expect different results. We would suggest that you not vote today and ask the people that make up the list of the potential candidates for this committee to look at organizations that would be different, like Dan sitting here at Cop Watch, or the ACLU, or the Lawyers Guild, or Sisters, or people that work with the homeless. We need a different direction. And I know I keep saying that to you, and you're really going to get tired of hearing it, because just about every time I speak to you, I will say that. We, as a group, have failed miserably in most of the things that we're attempting to do. And my suggestion to you is, if you believe a small part of that, then do something different. And what you do in the difference of this committee would be to say, no, we're not going to reappoint a whole group of people, 10, at one time. We're going out and suggest maybe we should have more of the community involved in this, because as you go down the line, it becomes a very tight group, and you lose creativity when that happens. And I'm suggesting go outside and stop reappointing people. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
I assume that you have a list of people from the Lawyers Guild and the ACLU, et cetera, who have asked to be part of the Police Review Board and have been rejected. So I'd love to have that list.
Why would you want a list?
Because I'd like to know how many such people there are to follow up with them and see why they were rejected. Because
I'm not suggesting that you rejected them. I'm saying you need to get off your ass and do some work instead of just talking about it.
You just suggested.
So if you say to me, well, give me a list. How about you give me a list of people that would be acceptable from the ACLU or the Lawyers Guild or Dan?
Well, you're suggesting, I think, in your testimony that there's people who should be part of this board who've asked to be and been rejected. So if that's true, I want to see the evidence of it.
I'm suggesting that you be creative, and I'm suggesting that you think about the direction that we're going in, and we are now having problems. Everybody accepts that. Well, what's going on with our police department? Everybody accepts that. I mean, you would have to be a fool not to accept that. So what does that mean? It means you have to go in a different direction. That's all I'm asking you to do, to be creative, go in a different direction. You're not going to put me on it because I won't serve on committees. I'm talking about other people that have different views and that are fighters and will not rubber stamp things. I'm really getting tired of everybody rubber stamping everybody else and everybody saying we're doing a good job when people are dying on our streets. And I'm a little upset because I knew Fred, and he died last night. And we saw him in the hospital. And it was really sad to watch him go. And he got a stroke fighting for his son because our system sucks. And that's what I'm saying to you. And he was younger than I was. Makes me a little nervous.
Thank you for your testimony, both of you. I have some questions for staff. Why are we reappointing all the volunteers rather than having any new candidates?
There are new candidates. So right now we're just reappointing the folks who served before, and the new candidates, as Mr. Handelman mentioned earlier, will be appointed to the board once their background checks come through. So we're just doing the first part because the police review board, the way it works is that these community members serve 3-year terms. Their terms have expired. So there are currently no citizen members of the police review board, and there is actually a backlog of cases waiting for new facilitators who are being trained up as of today and these new citizen members, because the citizen members are part of the quorum. So without the citizen members, there is no police review board.
So what kind of evaluation have you done of these 10 people to look at the inquiries they've participated in to see if, you know, as Mr. Handelman was saying, the community doesn't get any minutes. The minutes don't specify who said what. So there's no, and usually for citizen appointments, there's a public process. People can see whether people show up or not, what kinds of comments they've made. That's not possible in this kind of confidential process. But what kind of due diligence have you done within the auditor's office to look at the performance of these candidates?
Well, for each of these members, we've talked, well, just talking broadly, so not get into confidential areas, but we've had discussions with the police bureau, Assistant Director Mortimer and myself. We've both served on the police review boards, and we've been able to monitor these community members. And the police review board, as part of our recommendations with the auditor that she put in recently, we want to make the police review board more transparent than it is. I think it's important that the community have an ability to see what goes on in the police review board. There's the public report. I don't think what the public reports are right now is enough to give the community the sense of all the work that goes into being a police review board member. The hearings that we have when there is a police review board, there are currently 5 voting members. There's a community member, there's the IPR staff person, there is the officer's commander, there's a peer member, peer officer member, and then there's the officer's assistant chief who's in charge of that particular branch of operations. Those are open, frank conversations facilitated by somebody who's not employed by the police bureau, and there is no one who is a rubber stamp. Everybody speaks their mind, and every one of the cases has a public report that comes out on it, and I think folks have access to that and can see there are times where it's a 2-2 or 2-2 and 1 type of decision, or 3-2. So I think folks put in a lot of work on these cases.
The citizen members don't give a report to anyone, right?
There's a public report published by the police bureau that details the activity of the board as a whole.
And is there any opportunity for the members who've sat on that board to say in general, even not about a specific case, what their experience has been, and to share that with either the Citizen Review Committee or the Human Rights Commission or anybody?
I mean, I think if those organizations would like to have police review board citizen member talk to them. Recently, I've had the opportunity to be in front of the Human Rights Commission, and one of the things that our conversation revolved around was the importance of different folks in oversight, just defined broadly, whether it's Human Rights Commission, CPRC, CRC, that we get together and kind of get outside of our respective silos, and that we go to each other's meetings, that we have representatives. We had a CPRC.
These members would be allowed to go and talk about it at these, those meetings?
I mean, they could talk broadly. I mean, they couldn't talk about specific cases because these cases are confidential matters. These are, at base, employment decisions about possibly disciplining a police officer for some misconduct.
Right.
They
so
can't talk about the individual.
It would be helpful to me if we at some point had a panel presentation from some members of this review board members that can be chosen to give us some feedback about, do they think the process is working? Is it not? How should it be fixed?
I think that would be good because I think it's important for the public and for council as leaders of the city to have that feedback of how community members feel about what's going on at the Police Review Board.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? This is a report. So does somebody want to move the report?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Vote, please.
Novick?
I just want to say that I really appreciate the willingness of people to continue to serve. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of commitment, and we really, really appreciate it. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I just also want to add my appreciation to the Citizen Review Board. I'm sorry, to the Police Review Board citizen members for re-upping for another term, and I'm sure it's hard work. Aye.
Fritz?
And I thank the volunteers on the Police Review Board, also the two folks who testified today. I agree that we do need to make extra steps, and so I encourage the Independent Police Review Department and the auditor to bring back the measures that were presented last week, and that so that we can continue to work on these issues. If they're too important to put off until a later date unspecified. So thank you for your work on that. Aye. Item 1037, please.
Authorize a grant agreement with Janus Youth Programs, Inc. for $177,000 to provide shelter beds and treatment for juvenile human trafficking victims from July 1, 2013 to June 30, 2014.
Thank you. Is there somebody from the mayor's office here for this?
Madam President, there is a memo from the mayor asking that we attach an emergency clause to this, so I would move that we add an emergency clause.
Second.
All right. It's interesting that we don't have anybody to present on it. My understanding is that this is per the budget to allocate a decreased amount of $177,000 to Janus Youth Programs for their shelter beds, which are for youth victims of human trafficking. The mayor is proposing to restore the $70,000 that he cut in the budget as part of the full bump, and that would expand the services provided by Janus Youth to allow youth who are currently aging out of the system to continue to receive services from age 18 to 24. That part is coming in the bump. This is for the staffing of the Athena House. Anyone wants to testify on the amendment or on the main motion?
Angela Hammett was here, but she had to leave.
Thank you. So let's vote on the amendment to add the emergency clause, which I believe is to impact a delay in funding could impact Janus's ability to provide continuous safe places for juvenile human trafficking victims.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. And then vote on the main motion.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Janus Youth does amazing work with some of the most vulnerable people in our community, the youth victims of human trafficking. I'm glad to see this funding coming through. I hope to see support for the additional funding in the full bump, and I will be bringing an additional item to council in November requesting more money for human trafficking survivors. Aye. Item 1038.
Authorize a contract with the lowest responsible bidder for the Southeast 136th Avenue Holgate to Powell sidewalk infill project.
Commissioner Novick.
I'm glad to have this opportunity to explain that we are moving forward with an important aspect of the East Portland in Motion plan developed by citizens of our East Portland community and PBOT, and identifying a large number of critical sidewalk and safety and access to transit improvements. Southeast 136th Avenue project was developed as part of EPIM and listed as a priority project in the plan. The project corridor is divided into three phases of design and construction. Together, the three phases will result in a continuous sidewalk for this 1.5-mile north-south corridor. The complete project stretches from Southeast Foster Boulevard to Southeast Division Street in three phases. Phase one is Holgate to Powell. Phase 2 is Foster to Holgate. Phase 3 is Powell to Division. And today's ordinance moves us forward in Phase 1 of the corridor, Holgate to Powell. This work is primarily funded with $1.4 million that was part of an $8 million investment in EPIM in 2009 by HB 2001. PBOT recently completed 100% of engineering for this Phase 1 section of sidewalk infill, and the purpose of this ordinance is to authorize the project to go out to bid for construction services. Phase 1 will place new curb and 6-inch sidewalk where there are existing gaps in the sidewalk system. If there is sufficient existing public right-of-way width, then a 4-foot planting strip and street trees will be added. And we can also look forward to the completion of Phases 2 and 3 as well, thanks to a delegation of state representatives led by Representative Shimia Fagan, who in the summer of 2013 successfully advocated for state funding for $3.6 million to expand funding for the project to include Phases 2 and 3 and enhance crossings along the corridor. And I think that we have Ross Swanson from PBOT here to answer any questions.
Questions from council? Do you have anything else to add? Thank you. Does anybody want to testify on this item? This is an emergency ordinance. Please call the roll.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, Commissioner Novick.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Yes, thank you. Good work. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thanks to the East Portland Action Plan and East Portland in Motion for helping to press for funds for this, and for my colleagues on the previous council who, under Mayor Adams, prioritized this as a sidewalk that definitely needs to be built. I'm glad to see that this contract is now going out. Aye. And item 1039.
Donate surplus fire apparatus to Sister City, Guadalajara, Mexico.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. I wanted to take this opportunity to highlight an incredible partnership that Portland Fire and Rescue has with their sister fire department in our sister city, Guadalajara, Mexico. I had the pleasure, I believe, in the year 2000 of accompanying a delegation to Guadalajara, and I know we delivered some fire trucks then, and now we're going to ask council for approval to do that again today, and I want to turn it over to Deputy Chief Marco Benetti and Lieutenant Joe Troncosco, our Bombero Program Liaison, to quickly explain this contribution.
Good afternoon. It is afternoon. We're very pleased to be able to offer this donation to the City of Guadalajara, Sister Cities Program. Joe can give you a kind of a synopsis of the need that Guadalajara has with such a huge metropolitan area down there. They're very limited in resources for firefighting, and for the City of Portland to be able to offer these resources to them is an incredible gift and greatly appreciated by the City of Guadalajara. And the apparatus that we are donating is one fire truck. It is about 29 years old. It's like 9 years past its expected service life. And as well, we have a 32-year-old fire engine. Both these apparatus have been well-maintained throughout their service life, have served the City of Portland very well, but they've pretty much exhausted their resource value for the City of Portland. However, City of Guadalajara is more than happy to receive these apparatus and will paint them up and improve them a little bit for their use. And they happen to be perfectly designed for that climate down there. They have open rear jump seats and plenty of seating. But they don't, as I understand it, have an aerial truck. So this is something really good. They do need more fire engines. And Joe, if you can kind of expound upon that a little bit.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen of the council, I've been working with Guadalajara now for 14 years. It's our second longest standing sister city with 28 years of the international relationship. We went down there and started providing training and equipment starting back in 1999. When we started working with them, Guadalajara is a city of several million people. And they had, at that time, only 4 fire stations and 4 fire engines trying to serve that massive community. They have started patterning themselves after Portland, creating smaller fire stations and shortening the response time, but they need the fire apparatus to do this. They've increased their fire stations now up to 14, have a 15th built, but they do not have the fire apparatus at this time for it. So that is where this would be going, serving them. The fire apparatus that we have donated in the past were fire apparatus that, like these, were surplus vehicles that were just sitting in a parking lot, essentially. These are first out apparatus going out on the first calls down there in Guadalajara, serving the community, saving lives. And they have been up to Portland. They were here in August. They inspected them. And they are certainly hoping that we are able to donate them because they will be put to good use.
And the ordinance says they'll be driving them down there? They're coming up. How do they get there?
The last ones that they received, they did drive down. They picked them up in August of 2008. They're also exploring. I spoke with them just last week, and they also, if they do not drive them down, they're exploring shipping them down via railway.
Interesting.
And they would cover all the expense of the shipping. They would take delivery here in Portland and then be responsible for everything from that point on.
Thank you. Very interesting. Any other questions from council? Thank you. Anybody wish to testify on this issue?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
It's a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading next week. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much. John. Dan. Amanda, thank you. And thank you for a superb presentation with the two lines. That was lovely.